Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Add This to Your List, woo! Episode 90.
Oh my gosh.
We are 10 away from the century mark.
Yeah.
Yes. Sort of.
I had to do my math there. Sorry. I was about to say decade, and I was like, no. 100 is century.
I am Fumi Simano, joined by Mark J. Parker, Tom Chuba. We are three co-hosts.
Yes, yes, yes.
How are you guys doing this lovely, lovely weekend that we are recording?
We've sprung ahead.
We have sprung forward, baby, and we're missing that extra hour. I don't know about y'all, but I am really feeling it. I'm feeling it in my bones. I'm like, I need another hour.
Hopefully this is the last year we have to do this. Didn't we all vote for this nonsense to stop happening?
It is funny how it still
actually
happens.
It's gaining traction. I saw a couple articles over the weekend from several different sources saying that the idea to like permanently stop it is really gaining traction now, like for real.
We need to stop it. But anyway, we've got a great show for you guys today. We're going to get into some housekeeping and headlines, and we've got really fun lists. We're all back to two because we all had a chance to like. Yeah. Breathe for a second. And then we've got an amazing, awesome conversation with paired up with Fry Gay.
Yes.
We are huge fans of their podcast and they enjoy ours as well.
Yes.
And we're gonna talk about The Invisible Man.
Mm-hmm. Among other things too, with Fry Gay the 13th. Because it's good. It's Friday the 13th, yes. Y'all.
Friday the 13th. I can't believe it's happening.
I know.
Already. So why don't we just get right into it? We'll start off with some housekeeping, and I'll have Tom go first. What's going on?
Yeah, just a really quick update on Ms. Deborah Dugan. We talked about her a couple weeks ago with the Grammys. If you guys remember, she had started her post as head of the Grammy of the Recording Academy back over the summer, and she was trying to bring to light some shady stuff that might have been going on behind the scenes, especially with the board of the Recording Academy. They had put her on administrative leave so that they could look into all these allegations and see what the tea was. Turns out that last week she was let go from her post without any settlement.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow.
No pay. Yeah.
Really?
Yep. So they done fired her. Yep. And so basically what that means to me is they don't believe her, or they haven't found enough evidence, to corroborate the allegations that she brought forward. And they probably thought that it was, more harmful than helpful to keep her on board.
Wow.
And of course, naturally, both her attorney and the Recording Academy all released some, you know, pretty nasty comments, to the media about, you know, who's right and who's wrong. So I just find that fascinating, and, you know, shame on the Academy, because if she was trying to make things better, I mean, who knows, maybe she wasn't, you know, we'll never know what the real story was, but, it's just a little disappointing to hear. And it's not common that people get let go without settlement anymore.
Well, especially being a CEO.
Right.
Yeah.
Are we kind of surprised about how, I guess when we first heard about this, maybe, I don't know about you guys, but I kind of thought that, oh, maybe there's going to be some traction and like, you know, the Me Too movement might hit the music industry.
Yeah, you thought it was going to be Me Too for music.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that did not happen.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
So we was wrong.
This is surprising.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, but I understand, like, the contracts and the music are so convoluted and so intense and so deep. It's, like, really difficult for people to understand, so I guess that's how they get away with it. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, this is shady. Something's going on.
I just
on.
Feel bad for
she
her.
She was only there from August to January. Wow.
Yep.
Freaky.
That is crazy.
Wow.
Mark, you've got some fun stuff.
Yes, on a lighter note, sorry, Deborah, moving over to a lighter note. So guys, as you remember, last episode, we had a great conversation with the filmmakers and star of the documentary
Scream works.
Yeah, right? You'll squeam, you'll squirm, you'll scream. Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street, a great documentary. I just wanted to quickly give a shout out, add it to your list. It's a great doc. I was able to watch watch it after our conversation. A lot of good stuff. If you're a fan of horror, of movie history, of gay history, I mean, this doc is very well made. It's very exciting. We got to talk to them. But guys, quick little funny story. So we're watching it, my husband Greg and I. And first of all, Greg knows someone in the doc that's like heavily seen throughout the doc, interviewed someone who lives in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, who he went to college with. So that's funny. Another random connection. And so the film ends. We pause it during the end credits to chat about it, to chat more about this, you know, person Greg knew back in the day. And all of a sudden Greg goes, "Oh my God." And I'm like, "What? What am I missing? What am I looking at?" And he points to my name in the credits. Guys, I did not remember that over 4 years ago, I gave Scream Queen a small donation on their Kickstarter page.
Oh, no kidding.
I had no
conflict of interest.
That's I know. Sorry, guys. I swear. I literally did not remember it. It's just been on my radar for so long that I forgot that it got on my radar in the first place because I saw their Kickstarter and I gave them a little bit of money and was like, oh, cool. But how funny. I see my name in the credits. I'm like, I was freaked out. I literally was stunned. I was like, wait. Did they just add that in because of the podcast interview? That's very fast. That is very speedy. And then
funny.
Greg's like, "Did you like donate?" I'm like, "Oh my God." So, and I haven't been on Kickstarter or Indiegogo in a little while, a couple years. So I'm like, "What are my passwords?" And so we're trying to log me in. And so I see that, yes, I had given them a small donation. So how funny. I just had to throw that out there. I was so confused, kind of freaked out. I was like, "Are they watching me right now?" But anyway, how funny. 4 years later.
Big Brother's
watching.
And
if anything,
that's
it just
funny.
Shows you all the work that went into that. It was the Kickstarter was September of 2015, and the movie's out now. So
wow.
A lot of hard
I
work.
Love it.
So just wanted to throw that out there. I thought people might get a kick out of that, how I was truly stunned to see my name on the screen. So there you go. Fun fact.
Love it. And I wanted to briefly talk about Quibi. So we had mentioned it earlier about this new streaming service. It's with Jeffrey Katzenberg and Meg Whitman. It is another one that's going to be on our phones, and it's very much like a vertical format.
Yeah.
Everything is quick bites. It's all supposed to be under like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And they have been working. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty much everyone I know in some way or form has been offered or has working on a Quibi show.
Oh shit.
Right now.
Wow. Well, I'm available.
Wow. With you. They have raised $1.75 billion to fund its content spending, which is insane. Mm. And they are going to be launching with over 50 new shows/movies when it launches April 6th. Okay?
Crazy.
Take that, Apple
I
Plus.
Know,
and
right? Take
that. You know, still kind of, I think we're all waiting to see what it looks like. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't necessarily watch a lot of content on my phone. I don't, it's not something I love to do, but
I don't mind it.
I get where their head's at. And so I'm intrigued to see where this platform will go, but I just wanted to kind of give you guys a little bit, like run a couple of the shows I'm excited about.
Yeah.
So I am excited for Chrissy's Court, hosted by Chrissy Teigen.
Right.
Just because I love her so much and I think she's so funny, I feel like this show will be really entertaining.
Yeah.
And I kind of excited to see being Chrissy's version of like Judge Judy.
I could totally see it because she's so funny,
right?
But she's also in a good way, like judgmental and like likes to really state her opinion. So I totally agree with you, Foon. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Murder House Flip, I'm super excited about. Now, this is a home renovation show, which I love those, like HGTV all day, every day.
Uh-huh.
But this is going to be on the houses that have like a really like sordid, like weird, morbid kind of past. So I think this will be a lot of fun. And I also have to admit that the idea of doing a home renovation show under 10 minutes is like really fascinating to me.
Yeah, that's, I'm wondering how that's going to work out.
Right? And then there was one, Singled Out. I just feel like because of our youth.
Yeah, that's
you know,
back.
Remember Jenny McCartney doing it?
Uh-huh.
And this new version is going to be with Kiki Palmer and Joel Kim Booster, who I'm not familiar with Joel, but Kiki Palmer is like so funny to me. So I feel like anything
I love
she does
that's,
would be amazing.
Okay, that's cool. Joel guests a lot on the podcast, Bitch Sesh. He's like a comedian writer, I believe. So that could be fun. Cool.
Oh, okay. So you're familiar with who he is.
Yeah, I know his name. I don't know if I know his face, but I know he pops up here and there and he's a funny guy. So that's cool.
Love it. And then the only other, a couple other things is Fashions of Drag, which is basically like drag queen breaks down like hottest lip fashions, which I think will be a lot of fun. And 60 and 60 by CBS. So they're basically doing 60 minutes, but they're doing it in like six minutes.
Oh.
So I think it'll be, I'm kind of intrigued to see what that's going to be.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
Libby's got some stuff lined up.
Yes. And I was reading, guys, I had signed up a couple weeks ago, but I guess, so I think we might've mentioned before, I forget if we did on our show, but it sounds like it'll be either $4.99 a month with ads or $7.99 a month without ads.
Yeah.
But you can get a 90-day free trial, which is way more than like the 1 week free trial we get, or like sometimes it's 30 days at most, but this is 90 days, which is surprisingly
huge. Nice.
Yes, very nice, right? But you can only get it if you sign up. So go to Quibi.com or whatever and sign up to be a Quibi insider, and apparently then you're on the list to get access for your 90-day free trial. I don't think anyone can do a free trial. So just throwing that out there.
Okay.
Love it.
But I'm excited. I think it's cool. They have somehow attracted major talent. I know Liam Hemsworth is in a show. Mm-hmm. They're grabbing other people, but I kind of think it's a good idea because I, like you, Foom, don't watch a ton of stuff on my phone. However, lately I have been getting into the mode of watching some things on my phone as I'm lying in bed, like drifting off to sleep. So maybe that's what we'll be doing.
That's actually really interesting. Yeah.
You know.
All right. So now let's get into our headlines. We'll swing it back to Tom to let us give us some information on what he's got working on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, this is basically only just a matter of time, but we are starting to feel the effects of coronavirus now in the entertainment industry hardcore. So not only the first big kind of like gay ass move made last week in the industry was that the new James Bond movie, which was gearing up, ready to go in April, right? Billie Eilish released the new song from it, blah, blah, blah. That has been officially pushed back to November, specifically because of concerns over the coronavirus. And this move makes a little sense to me because so much of the Bond movies business is international, and in places like China and Italy, especially Italy, where a lot of the past movies have filmed. So they're very popular in those countries, so I can see, you know, wanting to push it back, but I was just shocked that it was going from April to November, because that's kind of a big push in my mind, in my opinion. Then it was interesting to see that Mulan is Disney's upcoming live action adaptation of Mulan. That release is going to stay put. And I thought that was interesting because you'd think that a huge chunk of the business was going to come from Asia for that movie as well. So that was a stark contrast that I was intrigued by. But breaking news, just as of this weekend, as of recording this episode, South by Southwest is officially canceled for the first time in its 34-year
history. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah. And it's interesting because Austin doesn't have any cases as of right now, right?
Texas does. I don't know if Austin does, but the mayor, in canceling South by Southwest, the mayor declared like a local emergency. And it's like, well, what emergency? Y'all ain't have it. So I don't know.
Now, do you know, Tom, do we know, is it outright canceled? Like, it's just not happening at all this year, or is it postponed?
They were going to try and throw together some kind of online format for South by Southwest EDU, which is like a subset of the South by Southwest Festival. Because it's not just film and music, it's like tech. Yep. And business as well. So they're trying to salvage some component of it, but the stuff that we care about, the film and music, that it's canceled.
Wow.
So I just quickly looked up. There is one case of a possible patient being tested for corona in Austin. I guess there is some concern, but I guess they still don't know if that person actually has it or not.
Yeah.
But it's pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
I mean, it makes total sense though. Like you don't want the optics of being like the epicenter for massive
outbreak.
Yeah.
I would have made the same decision. You do not want to be known as like the catalyst for a bunch of people to get sick. Like, cause then that's going to fuck everything up for like future years. Like, South by Southwest, the sick festival. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do hope.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if Tribeca is going to be canceled for April. That's the next.
Might be, especially because New York and really Westchester has a ton of cases. My God, my neighbors are like getting everyone sick.
That's an interesting question though, because Tribeca, correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a long time since I've done Tribeca, but Tribeca is different because like there really is like different pockets of places you can go for the movies, right? Like it's not really congregated in like one area.
No, it's like three or four theaters throughout kind of downtown Manhattan.
Throughout all of lower Manhattan,
Yeah, so it is a few different neighborhoods. Yeah, I don't know.
But they are discouraging anything that promotes large gatherings. Yeah. So, right.
Because I know they're mentioning
a film festival in nature is kind of promoting a large gathering, even if it's in three separate places.
True. Because that's why the Cannes Film Festival is also potentially not going to happen, I read. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. France is freaking out now, aren't they?
Crazy. Yeah. So I hope all these things, for the filmmaker's sake, at least the true indie, smaller filmmakers, I do hope they can show their films some other postponed event, you know?
Yeah. What sucks. Mark, what do you got?
So speaking of films, I have some surprising news that I never really thought I would read this headline. But guys, I want your both of your takes on this. So Pornhub, you heard that correctly. Pornhub, the website that, I don't know, maybe some of us have clicked on that every now and then. They are officially releasing its first ever non-adult film. They just released it last week, a couple days ago.
It's out already.
It's out, yeah. So I don't know. I guess you can just go to Pornhub.com, and I guess there's a tab for the non-porn film. But it's a documentary called Shakedown, directed by Layla Weinraub. And it focuses on the a sort of lesbian strip club scene in Los Angeles in the early 2000s. Hmm. So it was years in the making, apparently. Layla, I guess, from what I can gather from the little bit of research I've done, it sounds like the director used to actually work in this environment. She used to, I guess, work at these strip clubs. But so it focuses on, like I said, lesbian strip clubs in LA, and it's about 15 years of footage that she compiled and interviewed people and, I guess, showed how this was kind of like an epicenter for the lesbian community. But so, yeah, how interesting. And also, not only is it a documentary, it's a documentary that has been shown in museums. Apparently it was shown at MoMA for a while. So, like, this is a higher brow project that Pornhub has secured distribution for. So I just think this is really fascinating. Now, Fumi and Tom,
I'm thinking it's probably a one-off.
I don't think it's a series, but I do think this is now a new thing for Pornhub.
I think this is a fluke. Oh. I think this is probably, it just made so much sense to do it that, and because a documentary was in the works for 15 years, you know, who knows? Maybe they do start a niche of like documentaries related to porn, the porno industry. Related. I don't know, but I just feel like this is a one-off.
Interesting, because apparently they get 42 billion visits to the site each year. Last year it was 42 billion.
Huh.
So maybe Pornhub is like the place to be.
I get why people are going to Pornhub, but I didn't realize that many people went to Pornhub.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Know. Can you guys imagine yourselves typing in like Pornhub.com to watch a documentary?
Not on my laptop. I don't want that. I don't want spam on my laptop. No, thank you.
Incognito window.
I don't need it.
Right?
Need it.
So I thought that was really fascinating. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll check it out. Maybe I'll check it out. I don't know. I just think this is really interesting. I never thought this was even a thing. So Pornhub might be the next Netflix. Who knows?
Yeah. Next Netflix. Okay. and I wanted to talk about two things. One is some news that, Tom, do you watch Drag Race or no?
No.
Okay.
It's truly crazy.
I've seen episodes, but I don't watch regularly.
When this popped up, I think Mark was the one that sent it to us. And then I kid you not, like eight of my other friends sent me the same freaking
We know you well.
But Cherry Pie is one of the newest contestants on the latest season of Drag Race, got disqualified after allegations of really kind of unfortunate, they called it catfishing, but part of me feels like it's like sexual misconduct, really. Yeah,
it's a good mix of both, I'd say, right?
Yeah. Cherry Pie essentially admitted to having people perform sexual acts on camera under the guise of them possibly
like auditioning
for some sort of role in a film, and just has this collection of people doing questionable acts, sexual acts.
Yeah.
So VH1 found...
Speaking of
porn. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. VH1 found out about this and put out a statement that due to the respect for the other queens that are going to be appearing on Drag Race, Cherry Pie will still be featured within the series, however, will not appear in the finale.
Yeah, and I think, Foom, I think by announcing that, And after seeing the second episode where Sherry Pie is introduced, and she's pretty strong as a performer, mm-hmm. I think they sort of accidentally spoiled that Sherry Pie will the top three or four. So
yeah.
This will be really interesting. Now, I wonder if, like, in the future episodes, if they're going to try to trim down her interviews, because she's one of the louder, talkative queens. So
interesting.
I wonder if they're going to try to, like, do that or just leave it as is, but... It's a bummer, because now all I see when I see her is, like, ooh, skeezy, you know?
Yeah, it's really messed up. I was like, I know you sent that article, and then I started to read it, and then I got distracted, and I went back and read it, and I was like, wait a minute. So is this person, like, having people masturbate on camera for, like, their own enjoyment? Like, that's messed up.
Yeah, it's messed up. And also, it now gives casting even more of a shady vibe, because already people are kind of like, well, where is this video going, you know, with self-tapes? And so now it's like, yeah, take off your clothes and, like, go masturbate to, like, be in the zone and get the role. It's like, oh god. But also, guys, why did you do that? Like, maybe say,
yeah,
never mind, I'm not interested, but I don't know.
That part, right?
Right?
And then the other quick thing I wanted to mention was Grey's Anatomy had people up in arms this past week.
Tell
because
us.
Karev, as we had mentioned earlier a few weeks back.
Right.
Oh my God, I just drew a blank on the guy who plays Karev.
Justin
Chambers left Grey's Anatomy quite unexpectedly. Mm. I guess, you know, people weren't really expecting him to leave. And so they basically had to figure out how are they going to write him out of the show. And they wrote him out of the show. And spoiler alert, people, if you don't know, I'm about to drop some big news.
Oh,
so
boy.
Just fast forward if you don't want to hear. Karev leaves by leaving Joe, his wife, and going back to dun dun da Izzy.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yes, Katherine Heigl.
She came back on the show?
No.
Neither of them were in the episode.
Of them were in the episode. This was revealed through a series of letters where he wrote about, like, why he was doing what he was doing and apologizing to, like, Gray and Joe and whatever.
Shit.
And discovering that Izzy had his twins via in vitro fertilization from her egg and embryos or whatever.
Oh.
And he decided to, like, leave his life and go back to Izzy. And people were not happy. People were basically like, you should have just killed him.
Yeah. Wow, that is not at all what I thought you would say. Wow, I might have to watch this episode. Every now and then I like to pop back into Grey's to watch the big episodes. Wow.
Yeah.
And also, like, I love that as well, because that's still another dig at Katherine Heigl, that it's like, yeah,
totally,
we're going to talk about your character, but you're not invited back, bitch. Right?
Shonda don't play no games.
Wow,
anyway,
that's so interesting, Foom. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I thought it was funny just reading the tweets and comments from people on social media, because they were not having it. And I'm not invested into Grey's Anatomy like that anymore. Like, you, maybe I'll pop in every year to like watch an episode, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
But the people who are in it, they were not pleased.
Wow. That's a twist. Wow. I did read Ellen Pompeo thought it was like a great send off for a major character. So interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
All right. Well, that's it for housekeeping and headlines.
Oh my gosh. What a whirlwind. That was some good news. Good picks, everyone.
I know, right?
All
right.
It's time for the list. Okay, people. This is the part of the episode where we will tell you what is on our list. We've been watching things. We have been keeping track of what is worth your time. Let's go with Tom. Why don't you tell us first, what did you watch this week?
Sure. First thing on my list is The Way Back. That is the new buzzy film starring Ben Affleck, where people are pretty much like, oh, so he plays himself. Because he plays a down-on-his-luck alcoholic who is approached by the Catholic high school, which he attended. He was a basketball star when he was in high school, and they basically come to him and say, hey, our coach had a heart attack. And he's going to recover, but his wife doesn't want him to coach anymore. You were such a star when you were here at school. Why don't you coach our team? So he begrudgingly decides to take the job, and then kind of decides that, oh, this is good for me. This is good for my life. It'll help me turn some things around, yada, 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 right? Mm-hmm. So the movie is critically praised, and audiences are loving it too. It's somewhere between your typical formulaic sports movie, mm-hmm. right? And a kind of a character study about male grief. So something that we've never quite seen before blends the two together very well. I'm going to go ahead and say that the movie is an add this to your list. It's not stellar. It's not the best thing you're going to see all year long, but it's good. And it's been quite a while since we've had a sports movie like that on the big screen. Ben Affleck is very good. I saw a lot of people on Twitter over the weekend talking about how they hope that his performance is remembered come award season. I don't think it's weighty enough to carry it all the way to the end of the year. And it's certainly, you know, he's had better performances. Let's put it that way. But I enjoyed it overall. It's rated R, which is quite different for a sports film. Huh. Usually those are rated PG or even PG-13. But this movie, I mean, he drops F-bombs all over the place. Yeah. So it definitely earns its R rating. And there's some pretty heavy materials. I will say there are a couple of twists in the film that you don't see coming. So those were a nice surprise. And they kind of help break up the formula a little bit. And they happen at parts of the movie where you wouldn't expect them to, so it kind of kept your interest going. But overall, I thought it was good. Do you guys have any interest in seeing it or no?
None.
None.
Nah. Skip.
Lordy.
Yeah. But glad you liked it.
So that was The Way Back. Yeah, no, I liked it. I thought it was good. That was The Way Back. All right, so second thing on my list I'm going to talk about My Dixie Chicks. It's been quite some time since they've been in the spotlight. 15, 16 years ago when they opened their mouth and said that they did not support President George Bush. Mm-hmm. And country music world turned their backs on them. Well, a couple years ago, they decided to test the waters, and they did a tour, which Jeff and I attended, and they did all of their hits, and they fucking rocked, and it was such a big success that they did the tour again the following year, and they decided, okay, you know what? People are digging us again. It's time for new music. So they're back with a new song and a new video called Gaslighter, and I say it is a resounding add this to your list. Woo. What a fun song. What a fun song.
It is a good song. I haven't seen the video yet.
It is. It's so catchy. And it makes sense that it's catchy because it was co-written by Natalie Maines and Jack Antonoff from The Bleachers, who writes a lot with Taylor Swift.
He is like music gold now. It's crazy.
He is music gold. Yep. So he could write a catchy hook. So Gaslighter definitely has his stamp on it. But the video is super cool because if you guys aren't familiar, the term gaslighting goes all the way back to World War II, because Hitler basically was the first person who started doing this psychological phenomenon called gaslighting, where you get people to kind of forget their own memory and question their own memory of things. And basically Natalie Maines' husband did that to her. But what's funny is that they set up the video to look like a 1940s war propaganda film. So I thought that was super clever.
Wow.
Check it out.
Cool. That sounds great. It. Love that. Okay.
Have you heard the song, Foom, or no?
No, not yet, but I did want to watch the video when I was reading an article.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah. Check it out. Yeah. It definitely it feels very classic Dixie Chicks.
Cool. Okay. Love that. Yeah. Love that they're back. Okay. Foom, what do you have for us?
So the first thing on my list is The Hillary Doc. It premiered on Hulu this week, and I watched the first episode, and I liked it. You know, I've never really been one to... I mean, I kind of understand the dislike for Hillary, but then I also don't really understand the dislike for Hillary. And so I think the documentary is interesting. It's an ad. I was texting a friend and I was like, I wish this came out during the election. I feel like it possibly give people a little bit more insight into who she is as a person.
What did I say? What did I say about the Howard Stern interview?
Yeah, it was just kind of like, it made me sad, to be quite honest, watching it. It really made me sad for where we are right now and the potential we really had as a country. Mm. The stuff from 2015 is really hard to watch and sit through, I have to be honest. It just sucks. But I really liked the... like going back, like she really talks about like how she got into politics and how she got into like her interest in the law and hearing about how she met Bill and their relationship and her life in Arkansas. So it flips and flops between those both worlds. And so it's an ad. I think that anybody who has any interest in, like, you know, who she is, or even if you don't like her, I think it's an opportunity to kind of get a better understanding of the type of woman she is and the type of politician she is and the wife and mother that she is. So,
and the type of president we could have had.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So add it to your list. It's Hillary. I think the doc is 4 episodes, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but it's,
I feel that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's on Hulu. They're about an hour each. And it's really interesting just to kind of hear her and see all of that, what had transpired. Yeah. And what was going on in her head when things were happening and transpiring. Like, yep. She's, you know, she's honest about her feelings about Trump, about Bernie, about what's going on, you know, now, what was going on back then. So... Mm.
Wow.
Definitely add it.
Cool.
And the next thing on my list is more fun. It's a movie called Spencer Confidential, which is on Netflix, and it stars Mark Wahlberg, directed by Peter Berg. And so they have done a lot of stuff together. Yes. Mark Wahlberg and Peter Berg are kind of like they just do a lot. They've done Lone Survivor together, Deepwater Horizon, Patriots Day. Mm-hmm. So it is a movie about Mark Wahlberg plays the Boston cop. So it's like, you know, so out of character for him.
Gee. Wow.
He plays a Boston cop who gets himself into a unlikely situation and scenario and ends up having to spend some time in prison. And so he gets released and he kind of follows this whole, like, something happened, something pretty major happened. And he basically tries to figure out, like, a whodunit, like, what was this crime? Why was it committed? Who did it? And it's actually kind of fun. It also stars Winston Duke, who lives with him in this house owned by Alan Arkin. And I love Alan Arkin. He is just like such an adorable old man to me.
He is.
So I really love anything that he's in. He adds his bit of comedy and 2 cents into every scene he's in. And it's a really fun movie. Like, it's honestly like not the greatest thing you're ever going to see, but it's not the worst. It's like a perfect Netflix movie to like watch on your couch at home. Like, you're not gonna hate it, you're gonna laugh, you're gonna enjoy it. It's kind of fun. It's action-packed. Mark Wahlberg has a lot of like fight scenes in there. Winston Duke gives a lot of really funny commentary and comedy to it as well.
He was in Us last year, right? Is that Winston Duke?
Yeah.
I like him. Yeah,
he's great. He's a great actor. He's a big dude in this movie. Like, I knew he was a big guy, but I didn't realize how big of a guy he was. Especially standing next to Mark Wahlberg, but they're funny together. And I never know how to say her name, but the comedian Eliza Schlesinger. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't think
so. I've heard the name. I know who you're talking about, yeah.
If you saw her, you'd know who it is, like her comedy.
Yeah, I don't
necessarily think she's like the funniest comedian, but in the movies that she does, she's okay. She's also in it. She does a hilarious Boston accent. Like, it's a good kind of laugh out loud kind of brevity type movie. So add it to your list.
Nice. Cool. Okay. Fun. And I will wrap up our list. I also have 2 items, and they both are from FX on Hulu. Because that was a big thing that happened in the last week.
There's a difference now.
There is a difference now.
So confusing. So
it's like, stop.
I know.
Stop.
Right? Thank you. That's like, why I was like, am I saying it right? How many words go into this? How many letters? FX on HULU? Okay, yeah. So last week it was big news on, I think it was Monday, March 2nd. The whole FX library now is part of the Hulu library because Disney owns the world and they're coming for you. But so I have 2 new shows that I know one of them is an FX on Hulu original, but I think the other is still on FXX and just happens to also be on Hulu. I'm not doing a good job explaining, but let's just get into it. So two brand new TV shows. The first one was one that has been on my radar for a while, even before it went to FX on Hulu. It was part of the FX lineup, Devs. It's a new thriller drama from Alex Garland. Oh. Yep. Alex Garland, who created Annihilation and 28 Days Later. He's done a whole bunch of stuff. Writer, director, Ex Machina was huge that he did. Mm. So he's done some big Sunshine, which I loved back 2007. He wrote that. So he's really big in the sci-fi thriller world. So this is right up his alley, and it's beautifully shot. So it might be the same team that has done some of those big movies. So Devs just premiered. It is a mini series. So they're calling it a mini series, not a regular series. It seems to be maybe about 8 episodes or so. The first two, as of this recording, are on FX on Hulu. And so even though Nick Offerman, who we know as a funny guy, is in it, it's very serious. It's very serious. And boys and girls, it is very slow. It is sleepy time. Make sure when you're watching Devs, have a big old cup of coffee to keep you company.
Oh, Mark.
Yes, I am sorry to say. Okay, I'm going to be really, really fucking nice, okay? Because it's beautiful. It's beautiful to look at. And at its core, it's a story I like. The way it's told, I do not like. So I would call this a one and done. I would recommend watching the pilot, and that's probably all you need. But maybe people out there will give it more of a chance. A part of me wants to continue it. But guys, it is sleepy time. I mean, it's very slow motion. Let me tell you a little bit about the story very quickly. So Devs is centered on this couple, Lily and Sergey. Now, Sergey, they work in the tech world. It's sort of set kind of in the near future in Northern California and like San Francisco and the whole tech world. And like I said, beautiful visuals. It's like very woodsy, but these super cool, you know, graphics and this cool workplace. And so Sergey is so good at his job at this tech company, Amaya, that he is offered a special position in Amaya's secretive devs team. So right in the first episode, he meets Nick Offerman, who is the CEO, and they're like, Sergey, you are so good. You're now part of this secret team. You cannot even tell your girlfriend who works here what exactly you do. Can you do it? And so he's like, okay, sure. I don't want to give you many details at all, but so while on this devs team, Sergey sees something that we don't see, but it is shocking to him to the point where he is sick to his stomach, and then things start getting really weird and creepy and scary and dark. And so his girlfriend, Lily, we also meet. She actually, I think, was from Ex Machina. I don't honestly love the actress. I think she was better as a non-speaking robot, but, you know, I'll try to be nice. She is trying to figure out what's going on and what is this devs team. And so it's a whole mystery. What is the devs team? What's going on? Some other familiar faces besides Nick Offerman. You'll see Allison Pill, who was on American Horror Story not that long ago. She is in it as also a kind of shady, you know, tech person. So, you know, I might give it another shot, but I mean, I'm not lying when like at 9 o'clock on a Thursday, I was fighting to keep my eyelids open. So
I don't know.
That's Devs. And then the other brand new show from FX that I did not know much about. I didn't even really, this just sort of came on and I was like, sure, it's a half hour comedy. Let's try it. And I actually love it. And I think it's one of my new fave shows called Dave. So from Devs to Dave. Have you guys heard about Dave at all?
I have. No. I looked it up after seeing you were going to talk about it, and then I saw it on Hulu, and I was like, wait, what is this? And
right.
So I played a little bit of it, but I decided that I'll go back and watch it later.
Totally. I think you should, Fuma. I actually think you'll like it, because to me, it's sort of another version of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think Curb is still better, but Dave has some great, awkward humor, and it's very – it's set in the real world, so it's kind of meta. And so also, I feel really dumb saying this, but I – didn't really know who Lil Dicky is. Maybe you guys.
I do, yeah.
Okay. See, I kind of didn't. And no, when I was watching with Greg, Greg's like, yeah, that's Lil Dicky. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what you're saying. What does that mean? So, God, I feel old. But so Dave is all about David Byrd, who is Lil Dicky in real life. And
oh,
so,
is that his name?
That's his real name, David Byrd.
Okay.
Yep,
got
exactly.
It.
And so Dave is Dave Byrd, who in the show is an aspiring rapper. He's this early 30s, very awkward but very funny Jewish guy who has this girlfriend. He does, right in the first episode, he does like odd, stupid things like tweets that his girlfriend is giving him head because like he wants like followers. And she's like, why the hell are you putting that on your social media? And because he's an aspiring rapper, he has put some of his raps online. So he actually does have a little bit of a fan base. So people do come up to him and they're like, oh, you're Lil Dicky. I love you, and I love, and like one character says, I love that you were so honest about your girlfriend giving you head, and she's right there, and she's like, oh my god. But so it's super funny, and it's all about his journey trying to become less of a local rapper and an actual real rapper. And again, because I didn't really know Lil Dicky, oh my god, guys, when he raps on this show, it is like jaw dropping. The all time stopped. My eyes were so focused on the TV, I like zoned out. I mean, he is good, and the way he's so good, and the way he moves while he raps, oh my gosh, it kind of made me think of the way Donald Glover kind of moves in his music videos. Like, just super, super cool. I am so into it. It was a nice surprise because I, again, didn't really know what to expect. But so it's super funny, very talented guy, and much like Curb and other shows, it's like as he's trying to keep the momentum going, little things stop him from that, and he's still just Dave and not Lil Dicky, if that makes sense. So
okay, yeah, so no, that makes sense.
I would say add that to your list. It's a fun half hour. You know, it's at the very least, you know, something that you could kind of put on, and you don't need to keep your eyes glued to the screen. Yeah. But when he performs, you're gonna stop what you're doing and watch, because he's good. He's totally good.
You should go listen to some of his singles. He's got some pretty popular ones.
Yeah, because now, then once I watched it, and then once I listened to some of his music, I'm pretty sure I have heard it. I just didn't really think much of it. But he is talented and so funny. I mean, it's like true. He's just so clever. So check it out. At least the first episode, I highly recommend. Add Dave to your list.
Love it.
So I still don't have Hulu, guys.
Oh, that's right, Tom. Well,
but I really want to see the Kate Blanchett show that's coming on FX on Hulu, Mrs. America.
Oh
my god.
Well, isn't that also going to be on Hulu though?
No.
I mean,
no.
I'm sorry, FX.
No. Shockingly, the Kate Blanchett
thing. Oh, it's strictly for FX on Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was going to be on FX, but they moved a lot of stuff from FX.
It seems
to
like
Hulu.
American Horror Story is the only thing that they still really got going for FX. I don't know.
I honestly think it's kind of risky. Like, what are they going to show on FX? I mean,
maybe they're trying to get rid of the platform.
Maybe because now that Disney owns it. But I just remember when I was working at ABC last year at their upfronts, the first thing they showed at their Disney Experience upfronts was their whole FX library. So they care about it, but I just maybe they really want to push it to streaming only. I don't know. But yeah, the Kate Blanchett thing will be on FX on Hulu, I think soon, Tom, right? In the next
April or May, I feel
Yeah, so that'll be huge. So, we'll
see. They got some good stuff coming on there, though.
Yeah.
Like, and that Phyllis show with the... we'll talk about it offline.
Okay, totally. So that is our list, ladies and gents. So just to recap, let's add it up. We had The Way Back, starring Ben Affleck, in theaters now. That's an ad. As is The Dixie Chicks. They are back, baby, with their Gaslighter video. Check that out. And then on the streaming side, we had Hillary, the new documentary on Hulu, which I definitely want to check out. Fumi raved about that. And we also have Spencer Confidential, which is on Netflix, you said, Fum?
Yep.
Cool. So that's Fumi's picks. And then also streaming / maybe also on cable, I don't know, FX on Hulu, you gotta fill us in. But I had Devs, which I mean, it's a one and done. I don't want to say skip or okay to miss. I think it's worth a watch if you really take your Adderall, baby. And then Dave, also on FX on Hulu. Check out those things. So that is our list for episode 90.
And before we get into our next block, which Tom will introduce us to, I just want to give my 2 cents about Invisible Man, since I won't be able to join this conversation. Saw it. Effing loved it.
Good.
Like, so intense. I literally, my friends and I had to, like, shake it off after. Like, it was a lot.
Oh,
it was so good. And I want to... As Elizabeth Moss, like, is it too early for her to be nominated for an Oscar?
Right? Like, I see the parallels with how Lupita was gaining steam early at this point last year. I'm like, Elizabeth Moss is in that same position.
Totally.
But, like, I really feel like she might be able to carry that momentum toward the end of the year.
I hope so.
I don't know why. I just feel like she will.
Interesting. I don't know if she will, but she worked her fucking ass off, man.
Oh, my God. So
worked
much respect.
Her ass off, yeah.
Yeah.
So much respect. Like, there are moments in this movie, and, like, you know, people are really serious about the movies in LA. Like, people don't really talk, or, like, they're not obnoxious in theaters or anything.
God, my dream.
There was a moment during the movie where a woman was like, "Stop it now!" Like, in the theater.
yes. You could not take it anymore.
Oh,
it
seriously, was too yeah. I mean, there much. Are some twists and turns. I was gasping. And like you said, Foom, in earlier when you were talking, like there was one moment where I didn't realize I was like clenching my side, that when I moved my hand after like an intense scene was over, like my shirt was like kind of moist. I was like, oh god, okay. Yikes, I need to calm down. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So you think it's an add this to your list, Foom?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people, if you only see one movie, go see this one. It's so good. Yeah. So good.
It is really good. I would say add it to your list as well. And Tom and I will get into it with Andrew in a moment. But I do think there were some holes that, you know, are keeping me back from saying it's a must add. I don't know, Tom, you're nodding. What you think? You agree?
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark. I enjoyed the film. I did. I thought it was good. I did not think it was scary at all. Like, Blumhouse was marketing it as a horror movie. It's definitely a thriller. It's not a horror movie.
I mean, it's a pretty gory, violent thriller. I mean, I was kind of scared. I was freaked out.
Were you? Yeah.
Yeah, there were moments where I was like, what the hell is going to happen?
I'll tell you, the scariest part for me was Oliver Jackson Cohen's bottom teeth. He is so cute. But guys, did you notice his bottom teeth? Toward
that
the end of the
shade,
movie,
honey.
That is so funny, Tom. I actually didn't notice his bottom teeth, but I noticed his top two front teeth, and I was looking at Elizabeth Moss's teeth.
I did notice hers as well.
But you know, here's the thing, guys. I mean, he's at least foreign. She's American and a Scientologist, yeah. But we'll forget that. But I do kind of love that. Like, they just have their natural teeth, and they're a little slightly weird. But I mean, I kind of appreciated that. But wow, Tom, were they that bad? I didn't notice the bottom row.
Really bad. Like, the whole last end, that whole third act of the movie, yeah. I was kind of just focused on his teeth. And I was like, oh, you're so cute. Like,
and
he still is. He's still totally cute. He's handsome. He's adorable. I love him. Love him. Love him. But I'm just like, damn. Like, and like, Lee Wanall, the director, kept like getting real close up. He kept doing close-ups at the end, and I was like, girl, with the close-ups, like, yeah, back off, because all I could see are his teeth.
Maybe Oliver pissed him off and was like, oh, you're getting a close-up, bitch. I don't know.
I love it.
Yeah, Foomy, thanks so much for giving us that insight. I'm so sad that you can't join us, but Mark, let's turn it over now to Andrew from Friday the 13th. I think he's on the line ready to join us.
Absolutely. I'd love to meet him.
All right. Hi, Andrew. Are you with us?
Hello. We're calling from rainy Chicago.
Yes, indeedy. We'll be getting your weather tomorrow. So we have with us, listeners, we have one of our favorite podcasts is Fry Gay the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
I did not stumble. That really is Fry Gay, F-R-I-G-A-Y. It's a play on Friday the 13th, if you didn't catch that.
Right. Duh.
But they are a duo, Maddie and Andrew, and we have Andrew with us tonight, so yep, we're happy to have you on. I don't think, Andrew, you've met Mark yet, so
no.
Mark, meet Andrew.
This
Andrew
is great.
Mark.
Thank you, Andrew, for joining us, and happy Friday the 13th. It's, as of this
I
recording,
know, right?
In a couple days, so it's a special week for
everyone.
It's our
special
here.
Time of year.
Now, Andrew, do you love Friday the 13th, or is it like
I
a
do.
Day you're kind
yeah.
of, like, suspicious of? Are you, like, you know, superstitious, or you just love it?
I'm not, like, super superstitious, and I do like the movie series. We tend to watch, like, the first four every Friday the 13th. Cause of, like,
oh my God, that's so fun.
But superstition-wise, I just don't like to it's a weird one, but, like, when you're walking down the street with somebody and they can't split the pole. Like, that's – and I got that from what was it? Scary Movie, where she's like, don't split the pole now.
Yes. Oh my God, love
that's
it.
That's so funny. I won't walk under a ladder. That's
yeah,
about it as
me
far
neither.
As superstitions go for me.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I don't like
I just
doing
try
that.
To avoid any Final Destination moments at all costs.
Oh,
so.
And how funny that we're talking about those movies, Andrew, because this is my little nerdy side of things. Final Destination this month has its 20th anniversary, and in 2 months, in May, Friday the 13th, the original, turns 40. So,
oh,
whoa. Look at that. Look what we just
40.
Did.
40. Oh, my God.
Look yeah. what we
so
just
Halloween
did there.
Turned 40 years, 2 years ago, and
yep.
now Friday the 13th is turning 40.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God. All right. So we thought it was a good idea to have at least Andrew on from Friday the 13th to talk about a movie that is kind of sort of tearing up the box office
oh,
right
yeah.
now, and that is Blumhouse's The Invisible Man,
mm-hmm.
starring Elizabeth Moss and Oliver Jackson Cohen. Andrew, what did you think of The Invisible Man? I mean, it's essentially a horror story in the age of Me Too and abusive relationships, and how do you think that played out?
Yeah,
what's your take?
I really liked it. There's a little bit of lag, I think, in the beginning parts where I kind of wish that we would have gotten a little bit more of what their relationship was or like what
I agree.
We said the same thing.
I agree. Give me a little bit of flashback, right?
Yeah, it just like wakes up and she wakes up and she's leaving. And I'm just like, wait a minute. Like, what did he do to you to make you want to leave? Mm-hmm. And then I think it sometimes lingers in the beginning a little bit too much. Like, there's a little mm-hmm. bit too much close-ups of Elizabeth Moss's face just, like, staring into a blank room.
What did I say?
Yeah.
We said the same thing. That's so funny. So Andrew, we rate our movies at Add This To Your List, as you know, as we either say it's an Add This To Your List, it's an okay to miss, or mm-hmm. it's a skip that shit. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you say that this is an Add This To Your List in general overall?
Yeah, I think it's kind of, for me, I would probably watch it. I don't know if it's going to be one that I would necessarily buy, but it would definitely mm-hmm. be one I would watch at Agreed. Least one more time. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. once, you know, no spoilers or anything, but there's a certain moment in the movie with two characters, and I was physically, like, aghast when the thing happened.
Oh, my gosh. There are some good jaw-dropping moments, so I have to give it up. Like, I did not see some things coming, but yeah. I totally agree with you, Andrew, where there are a lot of lags where it's like, ooh, creepy, we're going down a creepy hallway, is he around? But then it's just taking too long. It's like, something's got to happen. Like, I need to see something in the background, like, move or something. Also, I just thought of it, guys. This just came in my mind. Why was the door to the house of the friend of the cop that she was staying with, why was the door so dirty? Do we know? Did you guys catch that?
No.
I did not catch that.
Oh my
that.
God, really? It's all I thought about. Sorry. That literally just came into my mind. The door, you know.
The front door?
The front door on the inside, like, you know, that sometimes it opens and with the chain and everything. It was so scratched up and dirty. And I thought,
oh, wait, yeah. Now that you're saying it, I think I can visualize
Maybe it's
it.
Just, like, alluding to his, like, fixer-upper mentality because he was, like, constantly Maybe. Fixing his house.
Oh, okay. You're probably onto something there. You're right. It just was weird because everything else looked quite fine and nice and normal in the house, but the door, I was like, something's like happening with this door.
There was anyway, one goof. Sorry. There was one goof that I noticed that as soon as I saw it, I couldn't stop looking at it. It's at the end when they are eating steak together. The steak keeps changing. Like sometimes there's three pieces, sometimes there's two pieces, and usually I don't pick up on that stuff, but as soon as I saw it, I couldn't stop seeing it. You know what I mean?
That's funny. They probably were getting hungry. It was like, all right, well, just eat your fake steak, right? Yeah. But
so
overall,
would
I thought
you call
it was
this
good.
A horror movie? Because one of the things we were saying is it a horror, really, or is it just a really good thriller? I don't know. We're kind of debating it.
I try not to live in that world too much, like just because you can debate it to death. But for me, just given the subject matter and like what she goes through, I would say it's a horror movie.
I would say so too. It gets kind of, I mean, it's pretty violent. It's mm-hmm. kind of gory and many parts. So I would go with horror, but Tom, you think it's more thriller?
You know what? I wasn't scared at any point of the movie.
Really? You weren't like on the edge of your seat at all?
No, and it's funny because Lee Wannell directed it, right? And I'm mm-hmm. a huge fan of the Insidious series.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And he basically got his start there.
Well, he got
and
a start
you
on
can
Saw.
See, right? True. Yep, I forgot about that. But mm-hmm. There's some influence. There's some James Wan influence mm-hmm. in the movie, particularly in the earlier scenes where she feels like someone is always watching her mm-hmm. in the house. Mm-hmm. That felt very James Wan to me. And so I can see where Lee Wannell was going with that, but it didn't necessarily scare me. I don't know.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. It definitely stressed me out.
I just felt like honestly, just like dread the whole time. That was kind of where I was living at.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think they did a good job of, he was truly gaslighting her. Funny, Tom, that you talked about the Gaslighter music video from the Dixie Chicks, because there's a theme here.
I sure did.
But he was truly gaslighting her, and I was so stressed out for her. Like, they did a good job with that. Like, no one was believing her because it all seemed so obvious that she was just crazy. But, you know, as we know, she wasn't.
And the one thing I'll give the movie is that at least they didn't over-explain themselves. Like, once you figured out how he was being invisible, it wasn't, like, over-explained. It wasn't like you were trying to spoon-feed the audience. It kind of just was mm-hmm. like, this is what it is. Here we go.
Yeah,
yeah. Unlike Hollow Man, right, mm-hmm. which went very sci-fi and yeah. really explained how Kevin Bacon was making himself invisible in that film.
I did like Hollow Man; that was pretty good. But no, I have to say, guys, I kind of wish I got a little more explanation. I had told Tom and Fumi and some friends that I saw it with, like, I kind of needed a few more answers. Like, I don't know, there were just things that it's like, oh, cool. Like, here's this cool gadget. You know, don't want to spoil too much more than that. But it's like, do you want to, like, again, give me a flashback of, like, how he created these things? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, just give me a little bit more. It doesn't need to spoon feed me, but, like, just a little bit more info so I can just kind of have the whole story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just some I can kind of see, like, what you mean. But, you know? I'm kind of like, I wish this maybe would have been on the small screen so we get a little bit more time with it. Like maybe like a six part series or something.
Plus also a lot of it is so subtle and quiet that I do wish it was just like a Netflix movie, you know, where you could just watch it super closely at home and, you know, but
yeah. Cause I was like 2 hours of this. What is happening?
Well, especially with
it
so many,
a little long, to
so
me.
Many slow turns, like especially in the rain later on after some crazy things have happened, we're still doing the slow walk in the rain. I'm like, I think we can amp it up a little bit. Yeah. I don't think we have to be so slow anymore. Well, there's some fire here. Let's keep it going.
Yeah. There could have been some more editing done.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
That's what we said too. But I think if anything, this movie years from now is going to be remembered for Elizabeth Moss's performance. Yeah. Let's talk about that for a minute. What an actress. We were saying that she worked her ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, no, she did great.
She like was going deeper and darker with every minute that was passing. I mean, yeah, she gave it her all. It was great.
Yeah. I think I said that it was like, it's Elizabeth Moss's face, the movie.
Yeah. She really is in pretty much every shot. I mean, she is the whole movie. Yeah.
But. So I got one more question. During the Halloween 2018 promotions, Jamie Lee Curtis was saying that movie was a Me Too movie. Which movie do you think does it better? Which one does the movement justice better?
Oh, I think this one for sure. Yeah. I know you guys are huge, huge fans of that Halloween movie. I'm kind of just in the middle on it. So.
I agree with
Mark's
you.
In the middle.
I agree with you, Andrew. And I even rewatched it recently, and I'm still very much in the middle. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just don't. Jamie Lee Curtis is just so out of like left field in that movie that it just kind of threw me for a loop, and that she kept calling her grandmother instead of like just
yes.
like
oh god
yeah,
I know. I know
there
grandmother.
Were moments that just took me out of it, but
where's
overall
grandmother?
I'm glad they made it though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Overall, it is good and it was scary. I mean, there are moments. You know, the way Michael moves.
Real rough to look away from.
Oh, totally, yeah. But I do agree with you. There are some little things that it's like, huh? What? And a lot of humor in that movie I actually find distracting. It's not used to, like, be the comic relief to, like, cool everyone off for a second. It's like...
Not the LL Cool J of Halloween H2O.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my God. So funny. Well, moving on. Speaking of other horror movies. So, Andrew, we just recently had the filmmakers of the documentary Scream Queen on. And have you seen that documentary? Do you know about it?
Yeah,
you
actually,
had them on, right?
Yeah, we actually went and we had a couple of things with this documentary. We had Mark on last September.
Okay, good. Right.
And then after that, he actually came to Chicago to show the movie at the Reeling Film Festival, which is like an LGBT film festival
Oh, nice.
Here. So we actually we hosted an event with him at a local gay bar. And then the next day we went and saw the movie
so
with him.
Good.
Oh,
so.
I love that. Look at you guys. I love it. So
love that.
Tom.
On April 30th, we're actually bringing Mark back and we're going to be showing the documentary at the Music Box Theater, which is like a 700 seat
Ooh.
Show, and we're going to be on stage hosting it with him. So,
oh, I love that!
Yeah,
oh, that's
so if
very
anybody's
exciting.
In Chicago, keep that in mind.
Yeah,
yeah.
Chicago.
What's the date?
April 30th.
Maybe I will fly out for that.
Ooh,
as long as the flights are still running.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Right?
We're all not swallowed up by coronavirus by then.
I know, right? But I love. Good for you guys. That's really exciting because I Tom has as of this recording has not been able to see it just yet, but I did see. The doc, and I really did love it. I feel like it's great for horror film buffs and history buffs and obviously gay or, you know, gay allies out there. What did you think of the doc? And do you feel like nowadays what happened to Mark could still happen where a studio sort of blames a gay actor for maybe a not so great movie. Do you think that would happen today at all, or do you think those are luckily days of the past?
So as far as for the documentary, I really liked it. It was very interesting to watch because you can tell that they went into making that movie not knowing what the story they were gonna tell, and it kind of just over the course of the movie they figure out what's the story they need to tell. And I thought that was interesting to watch, you know, these being like first time documentary filmmakers and kind of what they did with all that footage. And so,
yeah,
a great job of it. I think it's a great edit. I think that they did a great job of wrestling up all those people to do all those interviews. That was amazing. And then telling Mark's story. So I think they did a great job. As far as your other question, I think that kind of discrimination happens before they're even in the studio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When they're being cast or not cast for that matter because of their sexual orientation, or maybe they're a little bit more flamboyant. I think that's where that happens. I think in the day and age of like Garrett Clayton and all these young up and comers that are already out of the closet, I don't think there's as much stigma around it. Now, does that mean that they get cast a lot more than straight people? No, but I don't think that. I would hope that it wouldn't happen, but you never know with Hollywood. It can be a tough game.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. Like in the beginning, like as soon as these actors walk in the room or are even thought about, there's already that.
There's already
judgment.
A decision made about
it's,
them.
Yeah, of course, right? That's how it goes, no matter what you are, what you look like. But I am hopeful and optimistic that I do think most casting directors now, just with such pressure to be diverse and all that I do think there are a good amount of people out there that are willing to look at any kind of like man for example, you know, to lead a movie, whether he's gay or straight. But yeah, I do think you're right. The decision is already made. So nowadays that wouldn't even really get as far as it did back then.
I would hope, you know, not. I think that even nowadays, a lot of these casting directors and casting couches are, you know, they're looking for that diversity now because that's what is selling right now. I mean, not to put it in its like own little bubble, but like LGBT is selling right now. Like it's hot right now.
No, absolutely.
With Pose and with all these other Ryan Murphy shows that have like, you know.
I was just going to say we owe so much to Ryan Murphy. Like he's a polarizing figure, no doubt. But we definitely owe a lot to how far things have come because of him.
Yeah, for sure. I just wish that he would edit himself. I just need him to like,
we said the same.
I just need him to like concentrate on one or two things, not have like 17 shows out there that are like mediocre writing instead of having like two shows that are really good writing.
Yep. Amen.
Yep. And why do you think such a big part of the LGBT community loves horror? I mean, it's got quite the fan base. Why?
You know, I think we've kind of answered this question before, but I think our answers keep changing a little bit. But I think it's kind of like this thing because horror fans are already ostracized for like being, you know, liking horror and liking horror from a really young age. And then it kind of, you figure out that you have this little community, and it kind of mirrors, you know, how you figure out that you are in the LGBTQ community. And I think that those kind of just go hand in hand. And I also think that a lot of the times we see ourselves in these monsters. You know what I mean? We're the people that people think are something wrong with us, or that we are some sort of wrong. And I think that we kind of hold on to that. And I think we kind of see ourselves in some of these characters.
Absolutely agree. Yeah. I think that's spot on.
Beautiful. Yeah. And also I think there is something interesting about the whole final girl thing and how, you know, it's obviously a woman, but it's someone who is a little less maybe strong or less in control, obviously, and to watch her overcome this bad guy, this person who is stronger than her. Maybe there's something within the gay community that sees a lot of themselves in her, that we are maybe the bullied or the weaker, you know, people, and to overcome, you know, the bullying or overcome the bad guy is something we just feel innately
we
in us, maybe.
That, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I can see that.
So moving on to another question. So I didn't see this episode of Into the Dark, but I wanted to ask you guys, because Tom chatted with me about it offline. I remember we were kind of excited for it when we saw the trailer for the Midnight Kiss episode that was Into the Dark on Hulu. It was their New Year's Eve episode. Mm-hmm. Listeners have heard us talk about the show. It's a very polarizing show. Obviously, every episode's different. It's a self-contained holiday-themed episode. But so Midnight Kiss, what was interesting about that was a total... I believe it was totally a gay slash queer cast and a group of gay characters being slayed by a killer. So, Andrew, it sounds like you did watch that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay, so Tom was not a fan of it. And so therefore I was like, all right, I guess I don't need to watch it. That's a bummer. I won't watch. What did you think about it?
I like the idea much better than the execution, I'll say.
The execution, yeah.
But if you want to see a lot of butts, I mean, you can watch that movie because there's like four, literally, I think half the cast gets naked in that movie. So
interesting.
Does Scott Evans? I think he even does. Doesn't he?
I don't remember. It's been a while since I watched it. It came out a little bit ago. So
yeah.
But you know, I was happy to see the inclusion of, you know, a gay queer cast on, you know, such a mainstream platform with Hulu and like them being, you know, more diverse than, you know, I've seen in a lot of these anthology series that, you know, we don't necessarily get to see representation. So I applaud them for the representation. Much with a lot of these Into the Dark movies, I just need them to be better.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. I know they're such a mixed bag. Some are good, like I like the Thanksgiving one this year, Pilgrim, but then some are pretty terrible, and a lot of viewers did not like that one. So it then kind of opened up the question, well, is it because it's like a gay thing, or was it just bad acting? And
I kind of wanted it to be sloppy. Yeah,
yep.
Like, with the execution and everything, I mean, it's got like this great twist in it where but they don't handle it well. I don't know. I know that you, Tom, you knew what I'm talking about, but there's a twist where, you know, there's maybe multiple killers or something like that, and you figure it out, but then they don't do anything with it, and then it just kind of
It goes nowhere, and then you're kind of like, wait, that was a lost idea there.
Oh, yeah. That's a bummer.
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. So the acting wasn't terrible.
Okay.
But there is like a 5-minute club scene that just, in my opinion, screwed with the momentum. I mean, It's just like pounding EDM music for 5 minutes, and they're supposed to be in Palm Springs. I was just in Palm Springs, and I didn't find that movie representative of the Palm Springs scene at all.
Yeah,
so
I was actually, funny you say that, I was actually in Palm Springs the week before.
Yes, you were there too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
funny. And I can tell you right now, they have a noise ordinance that prevents you from amplifying music outdoors. That club scene is not happening.
Oh my god, that's
not happening.
Funny.
And it's like 5 minutes long, and it just, I don't know, that really just, I started to wander at that point. Yeah. I was checking my phone, and then it kind of lost me and never pulled me back after that.
Cute cast, I'll give him that.
Yeah, it's super cute, like a good cat. Yeah, it's super cute. Now, so then, Andrew, like, if let's say we were able to remake that episode or just make a new episode with a gay cast, what are the do's and don'ts, would you say, in making a gay horror movie? Because I feel like lots of times in a lot of gay stuff, there's like a lot of, like you said, a lot of butts. There's a lot of like sexual stuff when it's like, why do we do that? Because even in some of my writing with gay characters, it's like, wait a minute, why am I having them make out? Like, that actually, sure, that's fine, but that actually has nothing to do with anything. Like, where do you think sometimes like these kinds of things go wrong? What should be like ideally happening in a gay horror movie?
Well, I'll tell you one that I thought that executed it well. And that's What Keeps You Alive. I don't know if you've seen What Keeps You Alive, but
that was good. Yes.
Yeah, it's on my list.
It's just normal people that happen to be a lesbian couple. And I think what these studios sometimes do is that because they're trying to represent all aspects of the LGBT community in one movie, whereas they could just try to pick one and like really But they're afraid. I think they're really afraid that when you start to have inclusivity, you have to include everybody. And I think that they maybe need to edit themselves and stop trying to include, like, if, for instance, in The Midnight Kiss. There's...
And we could be harsh critics sometimes.
Yeah. Our community is our own worst enemy.
The harshest.
Worst enemy.
Oh,
yep.
My gosh.
We say that all the time.
But in Midnight Kiss, though, so they have to check off all these boxes. There's, like, the normal guy, and then there's, like, the overly sexual guy, and then there's, like, the flamboyant guy, and, like, they just have
who's
to,
Asian
exactly.
as well.
It's just
like,
you don't have to have everybody in every movie, so just pick something and do it well.
Yeah, that's true.
Agreed.
Totally
agreed. All right, so this was great, and finally, let's give you a chance, Andrew. Tell our listeners about your podcast and some of the topics that you've recently discussed.
Sure. We actually just released our 30th episode, so
nice.
It's pretty cool. We've been at it for 2 years. It's our 2-year anniversary, so nice. We're Friday the 13th Horror Podcast. Our premise is that we talk about the horrors of real life, and then we pair them with movies that kind of correspond to those. As an example, our last movie we did, it's called Work Sucks, and we talked all about, like, workplace harassment all that kind of stuff. And then we paired it with the Belko Experiment and the Shudder exclusive Mayhem, if you've seen either of those movies. So, yeah, we have a good time. We try not to, you know, there are serious topics that we have to tackle, but we try to do it with a nice lift on the subject rather than condemning all the subjects. So, yeah, we've gained.
Yeah, you guys are well balanced. I love your structure.
Oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm. I think from the moment I heard the first episode, I was just like, wow, you guys nailed it.
Yeah.
You definitely know how to balance.
We've definitely had to talk
with the light.
You know, we've talked about, like, college rape cases. We've talked about, you know, how Notre Dame is covering them up, and all because of football. And, you know, we've covered a lot of really sensitive, you know, issues. We had an episode last month where we talked all about, like, eating disorders and body dysphoria, you know, and that kind of stuff. So it can sometimes, like, be a little bit of a heavy subject, but then when we get to switch over to the movies, we get to have a little bit more fun. So we feel like it's a good way of kind of not depressing everybody every day, but still bringing up some good issues.
Well, also, it's a cool way to see how these super serious topics are then portrayed in horror movies, which can be so, light and silly and crazy and, like, so out there. So
yeah,
it's interesting to kind of...
horror movies are definitely a mirror onto our own world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally, right? Yeah. And some are super gritty and way disturbing, and then some are fun, you know?
Totally.
So it's interesting to see how these topics can translate. Totally.
Who came up with the name, you or Maddie?
I think I did, actually. But, you know, we had this really, really complicated name, and I don't even remember it before this. And we were like, nobody is going to search for that. So we had to, edit ourselves down. I can't even remember what it was, but it was super convoluted. It was, like, you know, one of our names and the first letter of our name and the first letter of his name. And it was just like, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I love your guys' podcast. I listen almost every week as long as there's not something that I haven't seen. Just because I know you guys go into it pretty
sometimes,
good.
Sometimes, yes. And during our deep dives, yes. Sometimes I blame Fumi. She loves to just spoil, right?
She loves those spoilers.
I know. We're like,
I listen to you guys every week, and I'm usually like 75% in agreement. And usually there's like one thing that you guys talk about that I'm like, well, fuck you. You're not right.
Well, let us know.
Yeah, totally. And now, Andrew, so it looks like, because ever since I've seen your great logo, which I love the font, I love the rainbow and all that, and I love your hashtag, Get Slayed. But so is that the font from the movie, from Friday the 13th? Because it looks so much like it. Now, was there, like,
we hired a graphic
drama?
Designer to do our logo, so.
Okay. And
we put in a little bit of money up front, you know, maybe one day we'll get it back. I don't know.
I hear you. Well, hey,
girl, we know.
We get it. We understand. But no, it's working. It's a
just
great.
Just keep telling
logo.
Yourself you're doing it for fun. You're doing it for fun.
Yep.
Yeah. As we're in our day jobs, crying. And
exactly.
Saying, I just want a podcast for a living, right?
I think once a week we say that.
Oh yeah,
that's funny.
I'm very impressed. You guys go week to week. We could not maintain that.
Well, you know, sometimes. And then
we're probably going to pull back.
Yeah, we're doing every other week for now. Yeah. But real quick, before we let you go, Andrew, since it's Friday the 13th and since you're from the podcast Friday the 13th, you have to tell us, what is your favorite Friday the 13th movie in the franchise?
Okay, if I'm going off of pure, like, nostalgia, I really love Part 7 because that was the first one I ever saw. And that's the one with it's the one with the telekinetic girl fighting off against Jason, yes. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But,
oh yeah.
But if I'm going off of like pure quality, like what do I think is the best movie in the franchise? I'd have to go with the final Friday the 13th Part 4.
Part 4, yeah. Okay. A lot of people love Part 4. I wish I knew the movies better. I love horror with every inch of my body, but something about Friday the 13th, they all blend into the same movie for me. But I have heard that 4 is good. I kind of like Jason Takes Manhattan, but I guess I'm the only one.
It was kind of fun. Around a ship for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I think I just love the idea of Jason on a ship with a bunch of like teens on a trip. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I actually really love Freddy versus Jason.
Oh yeah. Oh, I do too.
I know.
Yeah, no, I like Freddy versus Jason.
When that movie first came out, I really liked it. I don't think it's aged very well because there's there's a lot of crude humor in there that just doesn't translate to today.
Yeah,
but overall, I think Freddy vs. Jason has some great kills. Cornfield scene alone was
totally
fun.
Yep. Yes, you're right. Yeah, there's some good. You're right. There's a lot of good action in that. It all felt kind of like a weird dream of a movie. So you know, I accept that for what it is. You know, but cool.
Do you think we'll ever get another crossover?
Oh God, that would be so awesome, Andrew. I don't think so. I don't know. I think these studios are confused with the reboots, and I know Friday the 13th, and you probably do as well. I know there's a lot of copyright issues with that whole
destroyed
franchise.
Destroyed that video
game. I know. I have the video game, and I destroyed that. There was going to be a Friday the 13th TV show. I think the CW wanted to do like a pilot. Yep. Right, and that was totally taken off the table. And then now Freddy, Wes Craven's estate wants to do something. So I don't know. I would love a crossover, and it doesn't have to be Freddy versus Jason. It could be one of them with someone else. I mean, I'm into that, but I don't know what it would be. Right?
Maybe we'll get like a leprechaun versus Chucky. That would be
that's one people throw around a lot, and people also throw around Jason and Leatherface.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
I can see that.
Interesting.
A Leatherface is not my favorite, but that's fine.
Yeah, I agree. Leatherface isn't my favorite either. It'd be fun to see, like, I don't know, some like evil girls. You know, I know there's on Shudder, there's The Grudge versus The Ring. I haven't seen it yet, but I have heard it's quite a mess of a movie. But I mean, I don't know. I do like the idea.
The one that I always circle back to is they once had an idea to bring back all of the final girls, and all of the final girls from the Friday the 13th movies have to go save their daughters that are on like a trip, and that Jason is kind of going after their daughters.
Brilliant.
So I thought that's cool. I always thought that sounded like a fun time.
That's a cool thing, and I feel like that honestly wouldn't be that far off from being a real idea nowadays, because so many actresses and actors, but especially like these final girls of the past, I feel like are more interested in still being part of a franchise. You know, for a while there, I feel like actresses wanted to be like, okay, I did that, I don't want to do that anymore. But now people kind of want to go back. Yeah, they want to go back to what they did, and like,
you
know.
Thank you, James Wan, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting, yeah? You think he's to thank for that?
Yeah, and you know, one crossover I'd like to see is actually not in the slasher genre, it's the supernatural. I'd love to see the red-faced demon from Insidious with the nun from The Conjuring series somehow in a movie together.
I could totally see that happening.
Those two things scare the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
So. I'll tell you what, the first time I saw that Insidious movie, it had probably been a good 10, 15 years before a movie really scared me like that. That first
me too.
One
I
freaked
remember
me out.
It. Oh my God. I had nightmares that night. I remember seeing it in theaters. I was on vacation with an ex, and we were in Orlando, Florida. We had a fight. He was like, I'm going to bed. I was like, fuck you. I'm going to Universal City Walk.
So oh my gosh.
My ass in a cab, went to Universal City Walk to see Insidious because it had just opened up. And I remember coming back to the hotel, and I was like, I'm so sorry. Can you hold me? Because I'm so scared.
So. That's so funny. Well, what also makes that movie so good, the first Insidious at least, is the music. It was very creepy. It was like a lot of strings and like weird noises that just made you kind of feel uneasy, right? So, yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you, Andrew.
Yeah,
thank
of course.
Thank you so much. This was fun. We got to do this again.
Absolutely. Yes, this was so
fun.
Anytime
a new horror movie comes out, I'll I'm here.
Yes. All right. We'll have to like text our thoughts back and forth.
Cool.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, folks. Well, that was great. Thank you so much, Andrew, for joining us. We are big fans. As Fumi said at the beginning of the episode, we ain't lying. We're glad that you're fans of us, too. So this was a great collaboration, and maybe we'll do it again in the future.
Yeah, for the next Friday the 13th.
Uh-huh. And that's our episode, folks. So thank you very much for tuning in to number 90. Thank you to Allie, Greg, and Jay for all your behind-the-scenes support to the podcast. Thank you, listeners.
And Sabrina. Thank you, Sabrina.
And Sabrina. Yes, Sabrina, girl. You are working it. Mm-hmm. Thanks to our listeners. Be sure to check us out on social, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're there. If you want to listen to past episodes, we're on all the platforms. Or you could just go to addthistoyourlist.com. And with that, we're going to take a two-week break, but then we will be back, and we're going to have a little Irish Tom's trivia for you.
Ooh. St. Paddy's, man.
Can't wait.
So we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Toodles.